Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Another day to do God's will, hearing Him speak from the heart. At the last broadcast we did, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is available to guide us into all truth. And when we take heed to what He has to say, it makes all the difference. I always include that in almost every broadcast. But when people regard what He say, He's going to always take you to where you need to go. He guides us. He's guiding His body. Everybody that will listen, He's putting them forward. He's using them within the time that they have to live. It's up to us to, especially while we're healthy and full of strength, to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. When we yield to Him, He prepares us to be a blessing. When Jesus was on the earth, He went about doing good, serving mankind. And you can serve mankind many ways. Even the job that you get paid on, the Lord can use that job. He can use your kindness, your love, your wisdom to help people go forward. The Holy Spirit is not just limited to ministry things, but He can take something that you would yield to Him and use it to help people understand the love of God. It's your everyday kindness, your love towards people that makes the difference. We work with people in strategic places, and God loves the people that we work with, the people we're around, the students you teach. He loves every one of us, and everybody has loved ones. And you say, if one man gets saved, he affects his whole family and everybody that knows him. If he starts following God, many more people they're going to love God and follow God. I knew a man once. He was a quiet man. He was supposed to preach, but he didn't. But he lived a mild-mannered life. At his funeral, there were hundreds of people there. And when the pastor let people speak, everybody had kind words to say of him. And it was just a blessing. This man went about doing good. He just went about doing good. He didn't even heed his calling, but he still went about doing good. I believe if he had heeded his calling, he would have lived longer. But he went about doing good, and he left an impact anyway. Ministry doesn't have to be formal. I've taught that. But when we are obedient to the Lord and go where He sends us, our lives can be we can lengthen our lives, because obedience always works to your favor. Now, Solomon said that there's a man that shortens it, a wise man that shortens his life, and a foolish man that lengthens his life. That can happen. You don't have a day that God just said, well, this is the day you're going to die. It just doesn't work that way. Everything works off what you choose to do. The good and kind things you do, it puts spiritual wealth in your heavenly account. And it can come back at whatever you need, even long life. A man can shorten his life by drinking and smoking and worrying. But when you start following God, you know, and wealth is built up in your account. Now, you shouldn't die because you smoke too much. But because you started doing God's will, you need more time. And it's wise for God to bless you with more time. And you have something in your account that God can use to extend your life, where you should be dead because you hurt your body. I'm just using that for an example. And And he can give it back. Your spiritual wealth can come back to you as anything you need. Money, health, long life, wisdom, counsel. If you, my pastor said he counsels people, he blesses people, and the Lord gives it back to him. And it works. When the Lord taught me to love his people, he started giving me revelation. And then he started giving me things to write, and I write it. Kind of like that poem, Footprints, that the unknown Arthur had wrote. Well, he gave me poems like that. The first one he gave was Coming to Life. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I let a friend of mine that owned an alternator shop east side of Birmingham. Eastern Alternator and Starter was the name of it. And I let him look at my notebook, and he said, "Man, make a copy of this and give me one." So I went and had it typed, and then I went and made copies of it, and I gave him one. Well, that same week, my uncle died, and my cousin read it and said, "You ought to pass this out to the family to make them feel better." And so I said, "Okay," and I gave the whole family a copy of that first poem I wrote, Coming to Life. Well, when I did something with it, the Lord gave me another poem, and I wrote it and passed it out. And as I did, he gave me more. And it got to the point he gave me a poem every day. And I copied it and passed it out. They started calling me the mailman at church. Well, time went by. I wrote so many poems, and I passed out a lot of them. And that's all I was doing at the first stage of it. And in 99, the Lord, I was just laying on the bed, and then the Lord spoke to me and said, "Live and Letter Ministries." And I knew what to do. And he gave me my first assignment after I started writing. Well, when you're faithful with something, the Lord can multiply it. Be faithful with whatever the Holy Spirit give you to do. Then he can multiply it. Never look at what God does as being too small to fool with. Because what the Lord gives you is important. And it has purpose. It has destinies in it. Other people are going to live because of it. Because the Lord loves his people. When you help people grow, God helps you grow. Whatever you sow, you will reap. But, you know, with that, always serve mankind. Look at the purpose at hand. Pay more attention to, you know, serving people, the needs of people. The fact that you're going to be rewarded for is a bonus. If you sow so that you can reap, and your attention is on the reaping, and reaping takes a long time, that can become a distraction. Always focus on serving the need of people. Jesus didn't worry about what he was going to reap. He went about doing good. And he was confident that he would reap. And he did. And he sowed and he reaped. Farmers don't sit up and watch a crop grow. They do what's necessary at every stage of that crop. And then they rest. And they get up early in the morning and they work the crop again. They do things necessary. They don't worry about whether it's going to grow or not. They know it's going to grow. Now, how much more when you're serving the Lord? When you're doing what God gives you to do, serve him with all your heart. You're well taken care of. God got you. He's going to definitely reward those that are diligent and faithful to seek him. He's going to reward you. He loves us. He cares about us. He hadn't forgotten not one dime that you've given. And you will receive it back. Benny Hinn said, when you give to the Lord, the money leaves your hand but not your life. And he's telling the truth. When you help others grow, God is going to help you grow. Because that's how God does everything. It's got to be that way. That's the way he set it up, and that's the way it is. And I thank him for it. But when people love the world and they operate like the world, See, Satan's system is the world system. Lucifer, you know, we cover how he got off track. He wanted to take things that didn't belong to him. He wanted to take the allegiance of the people from God. He wanted to exalt his throne above everybody else's. That's like saying, well, I might be a school teacher today, but I'm gonna walk in there and teach the professor's class, and then I'm gonna take the dean's job, and then I'm gonna go in the governor's office and move him out of the way, and I'm gonna be a governor for a while, then I'm gonna go in the White House and just become the president. I'm gonna be like the president. And never had any, nobody elected me, nobody trained me, everything, I mean, off the wit I already have. And I'm just a school teacher. I didn't go to school to be a professor or a dean or a governor. I mean, you know, governors are elected. But, you know, you can't just walk in places and just take over like Lucifer wanted to do. But that's what the world system is, a monster. The thing about the world system, it doesn't look like the monster that it is. Now, we covered some things in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Well, when in verse 1, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's these days. You can see it's so prevalent now. People are looking for preachers that preach what they want to hear. Alright, you'll never get to know the Lord unless you hear him out and take him at his word and make the proper adjustments in your life. First of all, we have to be faithful with the written word of the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible, the Holy Bible. 66 books written by about 40 people that the Holy Spirit inspired throughout the generations. And we can receive enough information to obey God. And the main thing we learn is Jesus Christ. And every book of the Bible points us in the direction of Jesus Christ. He's represented in every book. Now, his love, his wisdom, his purity, we can study those things, but they apply to us when we believe on Jesus Christ and we become those things. And then we hear the Lord out. And as we operate in life according to his word, we finish learning what we started reading. When we act on the word, we learn more of it. We learn things we can't learn any other way. But once a person gets off track, well, they can't learn God's ways. It's impossible. That's why when he came to his own received him not. The Pharisees rejected him, and the people rejected him too. Now this verse here, the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears from the truth. They turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. The Pharisees, they studied God's word. They studied the Old Testament. And when Jesus, the word, see John, St. John called Jesus the word, said the word became flesh. All right? Jesus is the life of the word. He's the meaning of the word. He's the spoken word that became flesh. And he came to his own people. The leaders of the people rejected him, and the people did too. Because they did exactly what's written in verse 3 and 4. See, the people that came out and heard Jesus was a fraction of the people who didn't. about Israel. Everybody in Israel should have been listening to what Jesus had taught. He did, and he fed the 5,000. There were 5,000 men, and their wives and children. That could have been up to 20,000 people or more. But they counted the men, and they had their families with them. And Jesus fed them with the little boy's lunch. He did it more than once. Now, when this happened, a lot of people didn't go. But a crowd came. A crowd was a small representation of the country, of the towns of Israel. But people came and listened to him. But when he died, when the Pharisees sent him to Pilate, Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate tried to rescue him. He tried to deliver Jesus from the Pharisees and the leaders and the priest. And he told the crowd, he said, "Well, it's a custom that I gotta let one of y'all's prisoners go." And he gave him two choices, Jesus and Barabbas. And the crowd said Barabbas. And then they said, "Crucify Jesus." Now, when people choose the world's way, they become a weapon against God. They become an enemy, a weapon against the Lord. And they can't learn because they turn away their ears from the truth. They don't. The only time people go where the truth is being spoken is when they have to. They'll go to a funeral. They'll go see their children in a play at church. But after that's over, they don't go on their own anymore. Unless they get saved. And there are false preachers. They gravitate to preachers that teach what they want to hear. That allow them to be irresponsible, to misbehave. They don't preach about, they don't show the danger of sin. They love their sin and they're not going to change. But they want to know God too. So that won't work. Now, they'll be more useful to Satan if they go to church. See, since Satan couldn't stop the church, he gave people dead doctrine so that people will live. They'll be seen and people will think of them as the people of God, but they're actually devils. And the enemy is behind this. He wants corrupt people to go into ministry. He wants corrupt people to go to church, say that they're Christians, and act like him. Because he can exclude more people that way from God. It's a strategic plan of Satan. The lukewarm church, they are enemies. They don't really love God, and but they love the world, but they have a reputation of loving God. And they chose to be that way. They turned their ears from, nobody made them turn their own ears from the truth. And shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. He's telling Timothy, make proof of thy ministry. Do it God's way. You don't have to argue with these folks. If you live the light, that's something that people can't take from you. And when you walk in a room, there's no hiding places. Because people know your character and it works just like light. They know what you stand. They know where you stand. And when you speak, your words have great meaning. But the enemy is slick. He's trying to stop the work of God any which way he can. Now, we were studying 2 Peter chapter 2 before we went to Timothy. Now we're going to pick up at 2 Peter chapter 3. This chapter will help us with our patience. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, it says, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now he's not talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about the flood of Lucifer. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Watch this, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. See, the word of God solves all your concerns. It takes a long time for God's grace to come to its final stage in this dispensation. It takes time because God is trying to win people. Everybody that don't get saved, they're going to have a very horrible future. And all the people that we love and care about, if they don't get saved, they're going to be miserable in a few days. When the Lord comes, when he raptures his church, it's going to be on. You don't want to be here. But the Lord is patient. He's waited a very long time since Peter wrote this. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You don't want to be here when the rapture happens. After the rapture happens, you want to be raptured with God's people. You want to be taken off the earth with the Lord. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot or blemish. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord's salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable do rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Some people wrestle with the word of God, make it say what they want to say, turn it into something God didn't mean, and try to live by it, and they make a mess when they do it. But God loves us. He's very patient with us, even people that do wrong. He doesn't hate anybody. Even the people that go to hell, God loves them. He doesn't have any pleasure in them going to hell. But the way we preach it seems like we wish they'll go, but that's not the way it is. We don't like what's going on. We don't like the destruction they cause. We don't like them being lost. And we don't like Satan playing people, and God don't either. But when they put themselves in the position of an enemy, then you have to say something. Our lives, as we live, it warns people from the things that's wrong. It helps people see you're on the wrong track. That's why our lives need to be healthy. We need to be healed when we're sick. We need to be brought back to joy when we get depressed. We need to live a strong life in the Word of God. That's the only way we'll represent the Father. We got to be like Him. And we got to serve mankind like Him. We have to do our part that we should do. We have to, as we do that, we overcome the world system of death. All right. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Everything that the wicked do is an attack against your steadfastness. And be steadfast in the Lord. Be stable and strong. If you have any problems, kill the problems. Don't get mad at people that aggravate you. Kill the problem. You do that by in your attitude towards them, let it be love. And then as the Lord show you how to deal with the problem, deal with it. Deal with it biblically. That's how you kill your problems. And conquer whatever problem you have. Kill it. Conquer it. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You can grow in your grace towards others. Grace is it's a gift that you can't earn and don't deserve. So we give people, we have mercy on people. We bless people even though they don't bless us. Now, when people are willing to hurt you, the Lord has, there are things that you can do. You have to say something according to Isaiah. Anybody that rise up against you, say something. You're not talking to them. You can tell Satan, you can't use that person against me. I stop that person's works. If they are a real threat to you, rebuke the spirit of death. Tell Satan he can't use that puppet. And pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom in how to deal with them. And the Lord can put them in a position where they can't bother you anymore. We are more than conquerors. We have to learn what's ours. Isaiah said that anybody rise up against you, your words will condemn them. You can stop the actions of Satan. And you can do it biblically. And it works better than a gun. And if you have to fight, fight. But we can always fight spiritually so nobody can get killed. And I know it works because I've had to do it. Now, there's something with the remaining time. A person don't fight more than we fight to the limit of our conviction. So the more we love God's word, the more of a soldier will become. You know, everybody has to have fight in them. You have to have the attitude of a faithful conqueror. And the day that Elisha died, he was sent to the king of Judah. It's 13. In 2 Kings chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. The rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, and his might, wherein he fought against Amaziah king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam the son, Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria, with the kings of Israel. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him. It was the king of Israel. I said Judah earlier, but it was the king of Israel. Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now he saw the same chariot that Elijah went up in. Because Elisha was about to die, he saw the chariot coming for Elisha. But Elisha died. He didn't walk, get in that chariot alive. But his spirit did. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Now watch what happens. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elijah died and they buried him.